Hey everyone, and welcome to But That's Just My Opinion, the podcast hosted by me, Matt Lantrip, where I interview people about any opinion they have on any topic of their choice. So first off, sorry for the delay in getting the podcast out this week. On Friday, I'm recording this day that I have been extremely busy at work, about to start my 12th day in a row, luckily getting the weekend off. But I think I put in probably close, but somewhere definitely between 130 to 140 hours over the last 12 days. So sorry this is late, but it's just been absolutely insane. Things are about to calm down though, so we're not going to have a podcast next week since next Thursday is Thanksgiving. So the guest this week is David Jeffrey. You heard him on the Wrestling and UFC podcast we did a while ago. Again, working those crazy days, I wasn't really able to get a guest book to have like a real big discussion, but luckily David was available relatively recently. So I just sat down with him and we just talked and, you know, had one of our normal conversations and tried to make it a little bit interesting for you guys on the podcast. So just enjoy us talking and kind of hearing what we do and watch and our normal day stuff and what we talk about a lot. So hope you guys enjoy just us having a friendly conversation. For my opinion this week, since Thanksgiving is next Thursday, just really take some time to think about what you're thankful for in this world and in your life. You know, we always get caught up in the hustle and bustle of everything, but it's nice to every once in a while to just stop, look around, see what you got. Be thankful for it. Friends, family, the fact that you got a job, place to live, you know, things a lot of other people don't have. And that's definitely what I'm thankful for. So just make sure you really give that some thought as you're enjoying your time this next week over whatever break you may have. All right, well, let's get into it. Please enjoy me and David just hanging out and talking.
See, yeah, I'm just trying to figure it out and I mean, that might be a good idea.
Yeah, make like a Twitter or Facebook account, be like David's Custom Funkos. Like, I think that'd be good.
It sucks though, because I can't really take commission work, because I can't. It has to be like, I could never make like. No, I don't know. I guess that's not true.
Like, what do you mean by like commission?
Because most of the commission work is like, it's like. People want them done for like their wedding.
Oh yeah.
So
you'd have to find like
have to find the exact parts.
Yeah.
And then who knows how long it would take for you to get it in the mail and then figure out how long it's going to take to paint it and all that stuff.
You would just have to say you probably have to have like a certain amount of time.
Yeah.
That's all I can think. Yeah, I mean, you could definitely think if you try to open up like a shop or something. What do you think Funko would do something about it?
Online? No.
No?
No. If I opened up a store, I could never put Funko in the name. But I think I could probably put, like, Pop in the name.
Like Pop Vinyls?
Or
Vinyl Toys.
Yeah, or, like, Toys and Pops or something.
Yeah.
But then I wouldn't want to sell any other toys. There's just no money in any other toys, really, these days. It's really weird how these have really, like, these are really like taking over the whole industry, really. People don't buy toys anymore. They just buy these.
Yeah, which I kind of find fascinating.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's just weird. It's just like this simple toy. I think it's kind of like all the art I collect, you know? It's all based off something people know. Mm-hmm. So they want the variations. They want the limited stuff. And I mean, outside of probably like wrestling toys and maybe some Legos, you don't really see that much anymore.
Well, and actually wrestling and Legos have both oversaturated the market, and neither of them are worth nearly as much as they were worth a year ago.
Yeah.
Like, they've both really destroyed their market, especially WWE. When you go to the store, it's just like...
Oh, I know.
Lego, too. There's two rows of Legos, two aisles.
Yeah. Have you ever been to a Lego store?
Yeah. Yeah.
It's huge.
It's crazy. Like, but years ago, a couple years ago, those stores were packed, and now they're not anymore.
Huh.
So, I mean, I don't, well, they I guess they charge so much more for what it's actually worth.
So yeah, be fine. Legos are really expensive. I have a few. I have the DeLorean.
Oh yeah, that's a good one.
Yeah, it's awesome. I wanted the Ghostbuster ones like you guys have.
Those are expensive, man. That one's the firehouse is like $400.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. Like the Death Star, I think is like $200-$300.
Yeah. Oh, I think it's four.
Maybe the new one.
I had a girlfriend that had the Death Star. She bought it when it first came out.
Yeah.
It's cool.
Yeah, with all the different rooms and everything.
Yeah. I had made years ago, I would do custom Lego sets, and I made a Lost Lego set. So I made all the characters.
And
it was the set of the beach. And then there's like trees, and behind the trees, there's a little cave they could go into. Yeah. It was cool.
Did you have the plane crash anywhere?
Yeah, the plane crash was on the beach.
Nice.
And I also had this little like portable piece that had the guy that was down under in the hatch.
Oh, Desmond?
So there's this little room.
You had Desmond just, like, in there?
In the hatch.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it was cool.
That's awesome. Well, hey, everyone. Welcome to But That's Just My Opinion. So this week, a little weird. I've been super busy, so I didn't really have time to find a guest with a true topic that we wanted to talk about. But I have a returning guest, David Jeffrey.
Hi.
You may remember him from the Comic-Con Car Trip episode where we talked about wrestling and UFC. But today we're just going to kind of chat and just talk about stuff and just kind of have a free flow conversation. As you've been hearing us talk about, we'll definitely get into this more because I'm very interested in it. So I definitely want to know. He doesn't think anyone else cares, but I think it's very interesting. Funko Pop vinyls, because we talked about it last time. Last time you said you were doing it in the car. You were like, yeah, man, I do it. And then like a month later when we recorded that outro, recap of 200, mm-hmm. You're like, yeah, I don't do it anymore.
Yeah, because the money just wasn't enough for the time that I was spending on it, but I found that it's really therapeutic, and I'm kind of addicted to it now.
I mean, it's so creative, it's fun.
Yeah, I can't really stop. Like, it gives me something that my writing doesn't, because it's immediate. Like, you know, it's right there, you see the results.
Yeah, I get you.
And most art isn't like that. Most art takes much longer.
Yeah. Well, it also helps that you have like a base to work off of, so you can see finished parts and turn them into what you want them to be.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, cool. All right. Yeah, so I just got one from him. The first time I've ever bought one from him. And if you guys want them, I think they're absolutely awesome. So he took the regular Conor McGregor. He put two UFC belts on it and an Irish flag, and he flocked the beard. So you want to explain what flocking is?
Flocking is a term used in the toy industry to describe a toy that has hair on it, like actual, it's fake hair, but you know, it can come in all different colors. So the Connor one's like orange. He has like an orange beard on him instead of just like the kind of like ugly gray beard that he has normally as a pop.
Yeah, and also, like, if you think about, like, Christmas trees, when they're like, oh, we'll flock your tree, where they put all that white stuff over it, that's where I kind of first heard it. So when you first said flocking, I kind of understood. But it definitely makes it way more lifelike. And because they already have the hair that stands up and has details, it's weird that they don't do that with the beards already, and they just kind of color them on. But it makes it look way better when it's just the eyebrows, because even the eyes pop out. So, yeah, I think it's... I'll put a picture up on Twitter if anyone wants to see. So are these the only, I'm looking on the back here, are these the only UFC ones they have?
Yeah.
So let's see, they have Connor, Ronda, Chris Weidman. Wow, they have a Chris Weidman one. Was that from when he was champ?
Yeah, I think so.
Jose Aldo from before Connor knocked him out in 13 seconds. Anderson Silva, wow.
Yeah, the other kind of older ones.
Yeah, and then BJ Penn. That's
they're
like
all older
original.
Ones, actually.
That's crazy.
I think almost all of those people are out of the game now at this point, but that just shows what UFC is like now.
Well, Aldo and Weidman aren't.
But, I mean, Aldo's actually, didn't he say he was going to retire?
Did he?
Yeah.
I can't remember.
And Weidman just got tore up at 205.
Yeah.
That was pretty bad.
Yoel Romero, right? All right. For some reason, I felt like I was going to butcher his name. You should do with the Anderson Silva one?
Break his leg off.
Just have his leg dangle.
Wow, that's not a bad idea. But, I mean, he couldn't stand up.
Just give a stand with him, and then the leg will dangle. Oh god, just thinking about that fight makes my head
hurt.
Oh,
make it dangle like when he got kicked.
Yeah,
like you could like kick his leg out.
Yeah, wow. Where it can wrap around.
That might be possible.
And then you can have him with the Weidman one, the one he broke his leg on.
Yeah. And put like the belt on Weidman or something.
Yeah, put the belt on Weidman and then make a stand so that way he's sideways with his leg wrapped around Weidman.
Wow, that's not a bad idea. Okay. I might do that.
Yeah, that would, I'm sure it would take a lot, especially because the legs on these things are so short.
Nah, I don't think so. Because all you do is you put them in boiling water.
Oh,
and they're
gotcha.
So soft, you gotcha. Can just easily snip his leg off.
Gotcha. Yeah, then you just put like a string in there to
I could do
let it dangle.
Yeah, something. Some sort of hitch.
Yeah, that'd be hilarious. You know, I'd just say string so that way it just goes wherever like his leg did. God, I still remember that fight when I was watching. That was like 2 years ago. That was like Christmas 2 years ago.
Yeah. Yeah.
That was, God, I remember watching that and just feeling like, oh God, I can't watch this anymore. That was just absolutely gnarly.
What about that video last night that CZW,
oh my gosh,
the Vice documentary?
So I don't normally like Vice. I think sometimes
you don't like Vice. They're always fun. You can't say they're not fun.
I mean, some of them are fun. Some of the stuff they do is very like, oh, look how great of a people we are for exposing this stuff.
And oh yeah,
they're kind of up their own ass most of the time.
Yeah, but I mean that's. Hipster people, that's how they
are. See, that's the thing, I'm not the biggest fan of hipsters, so a hipster news network, I'm just like
that'd be a better name if they're just called the hipster news network.
But no, they have to be something provocative like Vice
is a cool name.
No, it is a good name. I haven't looked at their channel Viceland yet.
It's cool.
Yeah
Some of my favorite shows are on there.
Yeah, you've sent me a couple links. I haven't watched them yet. I'll probably get to them like over break.
Well, I mean, it's for, you know, it's real counterculture stuff, and you're not necessarily that way. So.
Well, I like some counterculture stuff, but not like I would definitely watching Ancient Aliens with Action Bronson.
Yeah.
I just have to, you know, get into it.
Yeah, it's cool. His other show is really great because he goes to just random countries and eats really good food.
Oh, so like any food or Travel Channel show.
Yeah.
He's awesome. Like the Anthony Bourdain of rap.
Yeah.
Actually, hey, that should be his next album, Anthony Bourdain of a rap.
That's pretty much what his albums are, is all the songs are about like food and stuff.
That's funny.
And cooking.
I've never really listened to him. I've gotten a little bit out of the...
Some of his songs are really great.
Yeah. No, I mean, I know everyone who listens to him loves him.
Yeah.
So I need to give him a chance.
I don't love his music, but I love him as a person.
Yeah.
He's a really cool person.
I get you. Yeah. I just need to get into it. But did I... all right, so we'll get into music in a little bit. What were you talking about before that? Oh, yeah, the Vice. So I have a couple things about this. We last night discovered that there was a Vice documentary. It's like 40 minutes long.
It only been up for a day. It already had like 55,000 hits.
Yeah.
Which is a lot for wrestling or Vice.
Has it really only been a day? Wow.
Yeah, it went up like yesterday, the day before.
Yeah, so that's why it was like right there in the timeline. Yeah. Okay. But it's about this it's literally following a day in a promotion during their essential WrestleMania, but it's all about death matches. And it's called, so the organization CZW. So the Vice thing is called Bloodsport, and I can't remember the subtitle.
But it's CZW Vice. I mean, it'd be easy to find.
Yeah, or just go on vice.com, search Bloodsport, and you'll find it. But pretty much it follows this promotion, CZW, which is known for having like hardcore and death matches. And man, this thing was crazy.
I can't believe that. Like he was saying, like he has to turn in all these different forms and everything. And everyone has to get tested and put in their blood work and stuff like that.
I mean, it makes sense.
No, I just can't believe that they're even able to do that. That
they're
that's even
that
like
responsible
an option.
Enough.
Yeah, that's crazy that they're like, we're gonna almost kill each other, and we're legally doing it.
Yeah, that's why they said it's outlawed. So pretty much the point of this documentary was to show pretty much the craziest wrestling in the world. I mean, this harkens back to like, this is way worse than like those old Japan death matches.
Yeah, sure.
I mean, definitely. like the stuff in the old Japan death matches is tame compared to what you see now.
Yeah, the stuff they're doing is legitimate. They're really doing these things to each other.
They're literally slicing each other open.
Yeah.
Like sticking. Dude, when he pulled those needles out. I was just like, oh God, please don't show him. Please don't show him.
Yeah.
Thank God they cut. Cause I was like, oh, I've seen that picture before and it hurts. It legitimately hurts.
Yeah. That whole thing was really cool. I'm sure they just shot that on digital, right?
Yeah, they had to.
Why don't they shoot it on digital normally?
Yeah, I know. CZW has the worst production quality. I don't know. Maybe it's for the aesthetic because it's such a grungy.
No, I don't think so. I would just assume they don't want to buy new cameras, but they're not expensive cameras.
Not anymore. No, I'm sure those Vice cameras are better than anything CZW could afford, though.
Oh, yeah.
But so pretty much the death match is it can contain anything. So they go through so they follow the Tournament of Death 2016. So if you want to see some of the craziest wrestling you'll ever see, go watch that. But there's like a fans bring the weapons match. So literally fans. Well, I mean, there was a staple gun. There was a chair wrapped in barbed wire. There's I don't know. There's a bunch of stuff. They were talking about how one time someone brought a gun and someone brought a sword. You didn't hear that?
No.
Yeah, he's like, what's the craziest thing a fan's ever brought? And he's like, a gun. A fan brought a gun. And they're just like, they know, like, oh, yeah, we grabbed this thing. It's not going to get used. It's going to be like, I got it, and then get knocked out like they do in WWE, you know? Like when Dean Ambrose brings out a barbed wire bat, it just immediately gets knocked out of his hands, and it's just for a cheap pop. But, yeah, I mean, that's just absolutely... It's nuts. I mean, people getting put through panes of glass, like real panes of glass.
That was really cool. I didn't know that they would structure it so well. Like each match had a real theme to it, which I never thought would really happen with CZW.
Yeah.
Like the card as it went up, it actually raised in tension and in violence.
Yeah.
Like or even just like the creativeness of the violence, not necessarily even the blood.
Yeah, because it's like, oh, a barbed wire match, you know, like to start off. That's an original like death match style from Japan that you'd see Terry Funk. Excuse me.
But then that would generally be fake barbed wire. These guys are using real barbed wire.
You know what? I will give credit to the guy doing it who did the documentary because he did take that chair shot.
Oh, yeah.
Like it wasn't even that hard. But he still took a chair shot, and I was like...
But he didn't tell him he was going to take it. He just hit him.
Yeah, he's like... See, like, I think he kind of knew that he was going to take it, though. Like, he was... You can tell he was prepared to take it. So he's like, see, I'm going to hit you, but I'm going to release my hands at the end so it's not as hard, but you'll still get that sound.
Yeah.
And then the dude just hits him with the chair. It's like, all right, you know what? This guy at first was kind of weird, didn't seem like he knew what was going on. He just took a chair shot. This guy, all right, I trust this host now.
Yeah, he clearly hurt him with it, too.
Yeah, dude, he was on the ground for like 5 minutes.
How about the crazy story about how DJ got into wrestling?
That
was crazy.
Go watch
this. I didn't know that story.
Yeah, I mean, so CZW, they go over this in the whole thing. If you guys just want to spend 40 minutes, like even if you're not a wrestling fan, just watch this thing because you'll see what people put themselves through for entertainment.
If you're queasy... Don't watch it.
No, if blood makes you hurt, then like we watch wrestling and we watch some pretty crazy stuff, but this definitely made me hurt and I've seen people like break legs and noses and this was just like, oh God.
Yeah, it was cool.
It was great. I think one of the best moments. Yeah. So how DJ got into wrestling is a crazy story. Just go watch that. The Danzig thing coming back where they were going to bury him alive. I wonder how far they're going to go with it.
That was cool. I thought they were going to bury him.
Yeah, I thought they might actually, like, he might have, like, something hidden in there where he can pull out something.
Yeah.
But the best was probably, at least in terms of real, of, like, wrestling, when Masada took the sit-down pile driver onto the cinder blocks.
Yeah.
That looked real.
Yeah.
That looked real.
He said he hit his head on it, so, I mean, it was real.
Well, he's like, he said he didn't hit it that hard, though. Mm. He's like, you hear that, because then they go backstage, because he's laying on the ground, and they have to, like, help him back, and he's acting, and then as soon as he gets backstage, he's like, oh, yeah, I'm fine. Because apparently, I think he hit his head a little bit, but that thud was actually from the other guy.
Hmm.
He's like, yeah, dude, I heard that thud, and I heard that crowd pop, and there's no way I was going to no-sell that.
Yeah. Cool.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah, that's what he says, like, right after when he gets backstage, because he's like, yeah, that's fine.
Yeah. Have you ever seen any of the previous year stuff?
No.
With Moxley or
No, I've seen the one picture of Moxley that's quite famous.
Yeah. Yeah, there's some really cool match.
Show that to my wife when she goes, "Why? Why would they do that? That is insane. That is stupid. That's unsafe. Like, why would he take that?"
They're trying to make names for themselves. They're trying to get noticed because they're not getting paid really that much money.
But WWE doesn't really go for the hardcore guys.
But you know what? Well, I mean,
Masada would be great in NXT.
It's a good foundation kind of to start with. Just because you can learn a lot from that crowd, like how to make them pop and stuff.
Oh yeah,
I think CZW is not a bad place to start because you can learn how to chain wrestle somewhere else. Yeah. The most important thing in wrestling is learning how to make a pop.
Yeah, and that's all that place is just nothing but pops. I mean, they do have regular wrestling matches most of the time. The death match,
it's like half and half,
but they don't go that hard all the time.
No, that's the big show. Yeah,
yeah, they have a lot of like table and ladder matches and stuff like that, but nothing.
Like, there's a couple of guys that were there that we didn't see that are like regular wrestlers. They're not deathmatch wrestlers that they didn't show any of their stuff. I don't know if they were on the card or not, but they were there, so I would assume they were on the card. They just didn't show
probably.
Any of it. Yeah.
Yeah, dude, I was surprised at how well choreographed that off the truck jump was for how impromptu they planned that.
Well, I mean, both those guys are legitimate wrestlers.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, if you set it up, but that's why they do it.
Yeah.
You know, just to go off the whim and do something crazy.
Yeah. I just love that they're backstage before the fight and there's like, how quick can you climb up that truck? I don't know. Let me find out.
And DJ's like, I would prefer you not jump on the security. He's like, oh, well, I think I'm just going to jump off the security. He's like, all right, that's what you want to do.
Yeah. And yeah, that was Masada. He's like, Masada goes, I mean, do you want to go through the table or do you want to do security? He's like, I think I'll do some security, just make it a little easier. Yeah. Like, all right, you get hurt. This was your idea.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, that was nuts. But so speaking of Vice, have you seen Documentary Now?
No.
Okay, so they do. So Documentary Now, for anyone out there, they just finished up their second season. I'm waiting for it to go on Netflix. But go watch the first season. It's Fred Armisen and Bill Hader. And each episode is them doing a parody of different styles and different famous documentaries. Like the first one they make fun of, the first episode is them making fun of Grey Gardens,
mm-hmm.
which is this old documentary about these women who, like, I'm not sure if it was a documentary or like it's something famous, but it's about these like two old women or like a mom and a daughter who live in like this decrepit house just off, like, out of land, and how they're just kind of weird and kind of outcast by society. But then they turn in the Documentary Now one, it turns into like a found footage horror film.
Mm-hmm.
And then they have one where they make fun of like Nanook of the North,
mm-hmm.
but Nanook ends up taking over the camera and like making a movie and stuff. Yeah, but they have one where they make fun of Vice, and it's hilarious because they're like, it's a bunch of hipsters going to like Mexico and Guadalajara stuff looking for El Chapo, or not, like, they're looking for, I forgot what the guy's name was, but they're like trying to find the biggest drug lord, which is supposed to be like El Chapo.
Yeah.
And they're literally in the streets like, El Chapo, where are you? Like, hey, have you guys seen El Chapo? And like, like, they go through four different sets of reporters because they keep getting killed. Yeah. It's pretty great. So
Vice is cool. I'm trying to think of what else they have. I know they have that like super gay show. It's called like the Super Gay Show or something. Hosted by Ellen Page.
Huh. Again, I do not watch this channel at all.
Yeah, they have other stuff that's just as
interesting. It's a little too hipstery for me. I mean, I'm sure some of the stuff I'd find interesting, but some of it is just like, it gets a little too pretentious. And when you're trying to present news, I don't want you to be pretentious about it.
It's interesting, though, because it's super pretentious, but it's also very seedy at the same time.
Well, like, yeah, because it's like, it's look very, how down in the dirt we're willing to go.
It's the underbelly, but then it's...
But I feel like they're doing hipsters. It for all the wrong reasons.
What, to make money?
Not to make money, but just to be like, look how much better we are.
I don't know.
Maybe I'm reading too much into it and just don't like hipsters. I don't know.
No, I wouldn't say you're a hipster.
Oh, God, I don't need to
get back on this. But saying you're not a hipster makes you a hipster.
No, it doesn't. No, it does not at all. I'm wearing a golf polo shirt and regular blue jeans and boat shoes.
No, yeah, I agree with you. You're not a hipster. You're a nerd.
I am definitely a nerd.
Yeah.
I mean, the amount of collecting I do with pop culture art.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, I think pop culture art's pretty cool, though.
Yeah. I mean, we got some. I mean, I'm at David's apartment right now, but there's definitely a bunch on the walls here, too. Funny thing is, I remember the show at Gallery 1988 that those three pieces are from. So pretty much he's got this, they're all record sleeve style, and it's the cast of different shows all dressed up to all made to look like family bands back from like the 50s. Yeah, so he has a bunch of, that guy has a bunch of them. There's like Firefly. I mean, Firefly is one of the most popular ones, but there's a bunch of them.
What's the guy's process to making these? Does he draw them first, or is it all computer?
This one, I do not know. At least when it comes to pop culture art, from what I understand, a lot of people have different styles. Because like I have some guys that I really love. One of them, Scott C. He does everything by hand on a 5x5.
Mm-hmm.
So most of his prints are on 5x5s.
You're talking about the guy that does like all the
showdown ones.
Yeah.
Yeah, you saw me.
The most famous ones, probably.
Yeah, some of them. And then the other guy, Mike Mitchell, is probably just as famous. But so Scott C., he does everything watercolor on thick cardstock. And so he does, you know, everything by hand, and then he turns that into a print. But the other guy I have most from, Mike Mitchell, he does everything in the computer. He has no originals.
Sure.
Because everything's done on like a tablet or art station drawing thing, and it's all done in the computer. So he just makes prints of everything. He has nothing original, which sucks because I would love to own an original from him. I mean, that'd be thousands of dollars most likely.
Yeah.
Because of how popular he is. But there are some like that. Like I have a buddy who's actually starting to get picked up by one of the galleries a lot. His name is Josh Seth Blake. He's been on this podcast. You've heard him before. But yeah, he's been getting picked up. And so he won a contest for the Star Wars show that Gallery 1988 had.
Really?
Yeah, he was one of five non-professionals that got chosen.
Wow.
So he didn't get to like sell any prints.
Where's he
or
from?
Anything.
He lives here?
Yeah, he lives here. He's from like from SoCal. But so he got chosen for that. And from there, because of his style, the gallery was like, hey, you know, part of that was he got to be in five shows. Part of winning that contest means he got chosen for five shows after that. His five shows are up. They keep coming back to him. He's getting a couple special releases soon too. I own one of his pieces. I've wanted to own more.
You have so many.
Wall space. And usually, like, I'll see his, and I'm like, oh, I do already have one from you. And half the time, it's like a movie I already have something from, too. I try not to repeat movies or TV shows or whatever that I have.
Because
otherwise, I would have an entire wall of just stuff based on the thing.
Mm-hmm.
which would not be a very nice wall to look at. A very creepy wall.
Yeah.
But it's one of my favorite movies of all time. So the last one he did, already had an Indiana Jones one and he did one. And then he did a Back to Future one, but I already have Back to the Future stuff. So, but there was like an Iron Giant one there, and I have been looking for an Iron Giant print forever. And there's only been one I ever really liked, and it was from Mondo, but it was from like 3 years ago. So it sold out, and trying to get online is like hundreds of dollars. But I found one at this show that he was in, and it was absolutely fantastic. So I ended up buying that one instead.
How do they send and ship those? Do they send them in the spiral things?
Or when you buy it from the gallery, at least for me, because I pretty much just get from local galleries, there's an in-store pickup.
Mm.
So I believe the artist prints them themselves and then gives them to the gallery. So that's how they get them and give them out. But yeah, normally it's in the tubes. The bigger ones will definitely get rolled up in the tubes. But I have some wherein I buy from the artist direct, like Mike Mitchell or something. Usually, biggest one I've ever gotten from him was like a 16x20. But his are on a certain cardstock It's not like a poster paper. It's like an actual thick cardstock where if you rolled it, it would ruin it. So his usually come just flat in a square thing, you know, fragile, take care.
Yeah.
I had one of his stolen from my porch once.
Yeah, I can imagine.
I mean, it was just a small, like...
I mean, because it looks like, it is.
Yeah, I mean, it was a 10 by... Well, I mean, it's just literally like... it looks like a package. It just looks like a flat package.
Mm.
But I don't know if it got lost. We're pretty sure it was stolen, but it was actually a Christmas present that never showed up. And they ended up sending us a new one for free. It was very nice about it.
That's cool.
They're like, it says it's delivered. It's like, dude, we never got this. Like, because I had bought stuff from there. So they had that address in the system. They can tell we're not buying a bunch trying to resell stuff or con them, because it's like, they've gotten my money. They've gotten, you know, they can see buyer history, being like, okay, this person's legit. Because I've talked to some of the artists before and they're like, yeah, I mean, we sell them to whoever buys them because we're just going to sell them. But I really hate when people just flip it.
Mm-hmm. See, that's why I would get into it. It would be just to make money.
Yeah. See, I mean, with the Funkos, I kind of get your deal because you actually make custom ones. Mm-hmm. You don't just sell straight up usually.
I do every once in a while, right?
Yeah,
of course. If I can find one that I can buy for, it happens probably maybe a couple of times a week. I'll find one I can buy for half of what it's worth and then just make the extra money.
Yeah, but that doesn't happen too often.
No.
But yeah, I mean, your main thing is buying the cheap ones and making them really cool.
Yeah.
There are people out there specifically just flipping prints constantly.
I never thought of it. I guess I'm doing pop art too.
Yeah, no, you definitely are. Yeah. You're definitely making your own form of pop art.
Yeah, it's cool.
And that's why I love it. That's why every time you show me something, I'm like, dude, that's awesome. Like, I've probably almost bought four from you. But this Connor one was the first one I was like, this is what I need.
Yeah, whenever you want to buy one, as long as I have multiples, I'll always get a good deal.
When, that's the thing. When you said you had 10, I was like, all right, let me see what I can get.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's really interesting how it works because it's all about, it's pop art. So it is about the timing of everything, because I've had these before and they sold okay, but after 205,
yeah,
he's like,
especially with the two belts, that's the biggest deal, is the two belts. Because I can tell you, like if you had just had the regular Connor, I'd be like, oh, that's really cool. It's the two belts that sold me. Like, straight up.
I'm wondering if it's really hard to do women usually, but if I could do like the whole like Trump family, I bet you that would sell pretty well.
What makes women hard?
There's less women pop, so there's less to choose from. It's tougher to make the faces look like women,
I get the actual person that it is, because
if it's just a blonde girl, a white blonde girl. I mean, there's a lot of blonde white girls.
Is that why you have a bunch of those Daenerys's?
No, because I make the custom ones were the naked.
Oh, that's Daenerys. Right. Where you do the, like, her she's emerging naked from the fire.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like that super pivotal.
Yeah.
Season one scene.
See, it stinks that she's not on TV right now because people aren't really buying it. Once she comes back on TV, she'll start selling.
Oh, especially because it's going to be the last two seasons.
Yeah.
I can guarantee you, maybe not this season, but the next season, and especially once it ends, that thing's going to shoot off your shelves.
Yeah. Once it comes back on TV for sure.
And I'm sure they're going to have special edition ones for like the season ending and stuff. And
they don't normally do. They usually do them like a year ahead.
I get you.
Like they just now came out with their newest ones.
Oh, for Game of Thrones.
Mm-hmm. And this show hasn't even started up again.
It's not going to start till possibly. Yeah, it's not going to start till
mid 2017.
I think maybe 2018.
Yeah, maybe.
Because I think they're just trying to shoot the last like 13, 15 episodes.
You think they're going to do that many?
Well, that's the thing. They're splitting into two seasons.
Oh, they're doing that?
So normally it's 10 episodes a season, but they're going to do like 7 and 8.
Really?
Yeah.
That's great.
Which I think is stupid.
No, I like it.
I don't. Just do one huge season to end it off. Like,
you want to stretch it out. You want to have that gap in between, because then you can have 2 years of content.
Yeah. I mean, like, I get the marketing standpoint from it, but for me as a fan, I would be like, you know what? Just go balls to the wall for the last season. Just make it huge. Make everything epic. Like, they're already putting off the next season.
Yeah, but
so why not just make it one long season?
If you stretch it out to 2 years, that means you're making money for 2 years, not for one.
Dude, this show's going to make money for the rest of its life.
Yeah, but like we were just saying, like it's not on TV right now, so it's already people aren't buying it as they did before. So
yeah, I mean, definitely when like you mean how much Walking Dead stuff do you start seeing as soon as that show? Mm-hmm. As soon as October hits, it's like nothing but Walking Dead.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I mean, I totally get it from a marketing and money standpoint. I 100% agree with what they're doing. From a fan and like nerd standpoint, I just want one epic finale.
Do you like getting them like Netflix does it? Because like I like it.
Oh, the binge watching.
Yeah, I like it sometimes, but then it takes a lot of what makes watching a show once a week so great.
Yeah, no, I totally get that. Like my thing now is I'll catch up on like two or three episodes at a time.
Mm-hmm.
I'll just be busy. And then, like, my wife and I are watching Westworld right now.
I love Westworld.
Yeah, we're maybe, like, two episodes behind at this point.
Uh-huh. The newest episode, amazing.
Yeah, that's what I've heard. So we've gotten through the first four. I think they're up to six.
Yeah, maybe seven.
Yeah. So we'll just, probably this weekend. No, I mean, like, we won't even be able to watch for probably, like, 3-4 weeks. Mainly because Survivor Series is going to take over that slot.
Oh, I thought you were about to say because Survivor's coming back on.
Oh.
What were we talking about? TV?
Oh, yeah. I understand, like, not, like, certain things for binge watching. Like, my wife and I binge watched all of Breaking Bad.
Hmm.
We didn't start it until the sixth season started.
Yeah.
And by the time we finished, the sixth season had just ended, like, a week before. So then we got through the sixth season, and, like, within the following 2 weeks. I mean, we were doing like four episodes a night. We were addicted. So certain shows like, yeah, but at the same time, I get the like, yeah, I like watching a couple episodes at a time. And I think that works better for the hour long programs. Sitcoms, I think, are great to binge watch. Like comedies and, you know, the half hour shows, I think, are great for binge watching. Excuse me. Hour long shows, I think, should be done week by week.
Because
there's a lot less story in the half hour shows. Obviously they have a lot less time, but I just feel like, especially watching some of them recently with Netflix, I've kind of noticed myself, I'd much rather if I'm going to binge watch something, I want to watch either a movie to take up the time or binge watch a comedy. That's the reason I haven't gone back to The Wire. I don't want to binge watch that.
I can't do The Wire. It's too much for me.
I haven't seen it yet. I know I need to.
There's too many episodes. It's too long. It's too slow. Can't do it.
Hmm. Like for me, like I got to catch up on Mr. Robot season 2.
I love Mr.
But
Robot.
But that's going to take, I'm probably just going to only watch one episode a day to catch up on that. Because I binge watched the first season and man, my brain was melted.
The second season starts off slower.
I've gone through the first two episodes.
Yeah. Yeah. The first two aren't that great.
I do like the like him staying up on Adderall and like forgetting all these conversations and everything.
Oh man, it takes a huge turn here in the next couple episodes.
I've heard. Yeah, so yeah, awesome. No, I'll probably get to that by the end of the year.
It's not too far.
No, and I mean, because I'm back tonight, so I'll have time. I have more time. But man, wrestling is taking up a lot of time.
Yeah.
But yeah, so I mean, I think the binge watching culture works better for comedies personally.
Yeah, but that's just for me. I've noticed that like, if I'm going to be watching something, like I want it to make me feel good. Like that's why you're like comedy is like, just I get to laugh for 30 minutes or even that's why you say binge watching it. Like I'll binge watch internet comedy shows like Death Squad stuff, where it's just like,
oh, okay,
stuff at the Comedy Store.
Yeah,
you know, the comedy store here in LA.
Oh, yeah. I listen to Verbal Violence.
Oh, you do?
Yeah, you listen to that?
Yeah, I've heard a few of them,
dude. It's great. I'm starting to go back through their back catalog right now.
Oh man, because
they're only through 24 episodes.
Yeah, but you know he has like 20 other shows.
Oh,
before
you
that
mean
one.
Red Band?
Yeah.
Himself.
Yeah.
Well, Verbal Violence isn't Red Band. It's just hosted. Verbal Violence is the one all about the roast battle.
Yeah, the roast battle.
So
yeah,
it's Moses and Coach T.
Yeah. Yeah, I've never gotten to see it, but I know all about it and everything.
Yeah, we should go to a show.
Oh, I want
to
go. I went to
maybe next 2 weeks.
Yeah, let's go. I want to go, but they do Kill Tony. They do Kill Tony on Mondays.
Yeah,
which Tony is my favorite show.
I haven't listened or seen it yet.
It's amazing.
I'll have to check it out. I'll have to probably throw it in the rotation.
I'll sit down and watch that. I'll binge watch that. over and over. Just like every episode over and over.
Oh, yeah, because they put it online, huh?
Yeah, yeah. It's amazing.
Yeah, I have to watch it. I've heard a lot of good things about that. I just watched Tony Hinchcliffe's...
special?
Yeah, I just watched from last year.
It's pretty good.
It's definitely a little rough. He has a bit about Bill Cosby with the rape stuff, but granted, this was a year ago and it was only like one person coming out and saying it. So it was just like, ooh, now that we know everything, this bit does not work.
Yeah.
Because he's like, what if this one person is just trying to get fame? And now it's like, no, that's not true at all.
Yeah. Yeah. But I went to UCB last Friday and got to see Manzoukas live for the first time.
Oh, nice. What show? Cool.
The tape one where people bring in like messages and like emails.
Oh, the Facebook show.
Yeah, it was cool.
Yeah, I haven't been to one of those. Carly and I used to go to Paul Scheer and Rob Hubel's show a lot. Mm-hmm. Crash Test. So it was pretty much stand up, and then they would do bits and sketches in between. It's just pretty outlandish, but it's pretty fun. Like they do a lot of audience interaction, and because we're such huge fans of the league, and we started going while the league was still on TV. And we were also in college, so we could go to a Monday night 11 p.m. show.
Man, UCB's a cool place. I would love to take classes there, but I hear it's pretty expensive.
Yeah, most of them are. I mean, that's how they make most of their money. That's why they can make shows free five or ten. You know, like if we go to the Comedy Store and go watch Roast Battle, it's going to be like $20, and there's possibly a 2-drink minimum.
It is. Yeah. It's free, but then there's a 2-drink minimum.
Oh, is there?
Yeah, and maybe even you got to buy like food too.
Normally I think they say 2-item minimum. So that's 1 drink, 1 food or 2 drinks.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I'm not sure. I mean, in the room they're in, it might be a little different, but definitely in the main room, it's $20 plus 2 drinks.
I think you're usually right. I think Kill Tony might always be free. I'm not sure though.
Okay. Yeah. I'd have to check. Cause a lot of times the way those things work, the people at the, at least from like what I've heard, people who, you know, have regular shows there and stuff. So say you sell it out, right? They work out a deal where the performers get 90% of the door. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, it's $20 a head. You know, that's a few hundred people in there. It's 90% of that's a few grand.
Yeah, it's a lot of money.
Yeah. And the reason they do the 2-drink minimum or the 2-item minimum is because everything from the kitchen and bar is what the store makes money off of. So they're like, yeah, they do the 2-item minimum, so that way they're still making money. Otherwise, a bunch of people would come in there. Comedians would get everything, and, you know, place wouldn't get anything. But it also helps the comedians, too. You know, they're like, yeah, get these people to drink. Get these people in a good mood.
Yeah. I think they get paid, if you go perform there, just regular, do stand-up, I think it's only like $15. Like, they only pay you like $15, unless you're like a paid regular.
I know what you're talking about. So it's like, oh, hey, you know, I got booked on this show. That's like, yeah, I know what you're talking about. Because one of the comedians I know, he just started a show recently there up in like one of the rooms. And so sometimes people will drop in. I don't think, but they have a rotating guest, but they're always constant. But then a paid regular are people like Dane Cook, Chris D'Elia, you know, the guys that you always see on the marquee. Those are the guys that are
all the names on the walls.
Yeah, those are the guys. Pretty much everyone on the marquee is the ones getting paid. But anytime someone just drops in for a set, they're either cheap or free.
Yeah.
You know, and especially a lot of the famous people. They just drop in and do sets for free because they don't care. They don't need it. They just want to hone their skills.
Sure.
Yeah, we definitely need to go. You should listen to Verbal Violence. I haven't listened to anything really else from Redman.
Don't they haven't they started a TV show? I think they have.
Oh, the Roast Battle?
Yeah.
No, it was a special on Comedy Central.
They're shooting another one.
Yeah, because they do it in because they have the Roast Battle Championships at the Montreal Just for Laughs every year. So they're turning that into a yearly special.
Hmm.
Because that's where they did it this year, and I believe they're just doing Montreal Just for Laughs every year.
It would work as a weekly show.
Oh, it definitely would. Well, that's the thing. They already Periscope it.
Do they?
They Periscope the entire show. I haven't gotten a chance to watch it yet, but I believe you can go back and watch them.
I'm not so much into Yo Mama jokes.
Well, that's the thing. It's not Yo Mama jokes. That's what literally one of the rules is: no internet jokes, no Yo Mama jokes. Everything has to be original.
Sure. I am pretty good at insulting people, so I'd maybe want to do it.
Dude, to get on that thing, this is highly coveted now. Hmm. Like, the roast battle started from this thing that was kind of brewing and Jeff Ross kind of just tooling around to something that is huge in the comedy scene.
Yeah.
Because, like, they even have one in New York now called Roastmasters. It's pretty much the same thing as a roast battle out here, but it's getting very popular. It's pretty much like the underground rap of comedy.
Well, I mean, it's probably taken over underground rap because underground rap doesn't exist anymore.
I know. That's what Camp Flogna is, right? I have a bunch of friends who were at that this weekend. So pretty much they're like the new kind of gritty thing that's getting popular and like selling out each week and getting, that's why they got the Comedy Central thing. Cause it's like all these names are starting to be there. And even when they get judges, I mean, they get big name judges. Like Jason Reitman loves being a judge on that, like in the belly room, mm-hmm. you know, in like the worst room in the Comedy Store. He just loves going there.
Imagine how much fun that would be.
I know. And especially if you watch the Just for Laughs special that they did on Comedy Central, the like the four nights.
Yeah,
if you go online, you just go on Comedy Central, you can find it. Like the people in the audience, it's like, yeah, it's most of it is just people there for the festival, but half that crowd, like most of the people on there, you've probably never heard of. Some of them you have because they brought a few people like star power just to make it, like Jimmy Carr's on there. Ralphie May is part of it. Like Ralphie May apparently loves the roast battle and will do anything he can to ever be on it or be a judge. Like he just shows up all the time. And then but a lot of the people are unknowns, and, you know, people just coming up that do the roast battle every week or every couple, like every month, and just have made a name for themselves in these small underground rooms. And now you watch that Montreal, I mean, literally some of the top comedians in the world are sitting in the audience. Like they're in the back, they get pointed out every once in a while, but like Dave Chappelle is literally hiding in the back of there, and he comes up, he's like, this is one of the best shows I've ever seen. You know, like people just, this has become a thing where it's like, this is the new comedy. This is the new hit thing in stand-up comedy right now. It's the roast battle, and it's only going up.
I would say just the internet comedy in general.
I don't watch a lot of internet shows. What do you watch?
Just mainly Death Squad stuff, I guess. I have other shows that I can't really remember right now.
Yeah, I mean, I remember web series were kind of a thing for a minute, but then kind of died.
Mm-hmm.
I think when with the internet shows, I think now mainly because actual produced shows are just going online and getting, you know, bigger budgets, and like, oh yeah, whether you watch it on TV or not, we're still counting everything we see, we get online as part of our viewers because we get ads there and all that stuff. So like the web series is pretty much gone.
Well, I mean, you have Netflix.
Yeah. No, I'm trying to. Shit.
My Did you see Chappelle on SNL?
Yes. The episode was not that good.
No, but it was funny how they just tried to turn it into like another Chappelle Show episode, but they didn't do a very good job.
Well, the first couple were.
I thought that was really interesting.
His opening monologue was one of the best things ever.
Yeah.
That cold open was god awful.
Yeah.
Let's just play Hallelujah, make it super somber, and have her dressed up as Hillary Clinton just to prove a point and say, this is the woman we backed.
Why is SNL always so white? It's just for the past like 30 years, it's just a ton of white people.
I know. I get
but
what
like,
you're saying.
But like preppy white people.
Yeah. It's well, that's the thing. It's almost like it is pretty much become like a New Yorker cartoon in sketch.
Yeah, but it's not meant to be. They just are that way.
Yeah, and that's because that's the people they hire.
Yeah, but why does Lorne only hire
like
preppy white people now?
I don't know, but I'll tell you what, like most of those sketches I don't like, but the stuff that like Kenan comes up with are some of the funniest things.
Yeah, sometimes.
Like the What's Up With That is probably one of my favorite sketches, and every time it's the exact same thing, but I die every time. You know which sketch that is, right?
Yeah.
I don't get it. It's definitely interesting. But Dave Chappelle's episode, it's honestly the first time I've watched Saturday Night Live this whole year.
Yeah, me too.
Like, I don't care about their political stuff. Like, it's just like that Walking Dead one with all the Chappelle Show characters was fantastic.
That was funny.
Like, even bringing back the player haters, I was like, oh my God. And then they brought back Clayton Bigsby. They brought back his, like, generic white dude. And, but then the only other sketch that I really actually found good was that one of everyone, like him and Chris Rock, when they're at their friend's like viewing party for the,
I didn't see that one.
So pretty much the premise is, it was the first sketch right after the opening monologue. The premise is they, so it's a viewing party. It's Dave Chappelle with like four of his white friends, whatever, watching, the election night coverage. And they're pretty much all like, yeah, Hillary's got this in the bag and blah, blah, blah. And it's pretty much like the idea of what liberals went through that whole night of like, we got this. And then it just slowly turning on them and being like, well, if we get this state and this state and this state and this state, and then turning into, I can't believe America is the most racist, sexist, bigoted country in the world.
I thought
and,
that.
But the whole point is the whole time Dave Chappelle's like at the beginning, he's like, I don't know, man, Trump could do it. Like, you don't know what, you know, things, crazier things have happened. And like Chris Rock comes in. And by the end, like when they're like, when the guy goes, this is the most sexist rate, this is the most racist this country has ever been, Dave Chappelle and Chris Rock just look at each other and start laughing. Yeah, like, right. Pretty much they're just like, all these white liberals are so like, oh my God. Yeah. And they're like, yeah, do you not know history? Like, this is not the worst thing that's ever happened. You all need to calm down.
Yeah, the awareness, the lack of awareness that people have about themselves is very evident these days.
Yeah, and I would say that's the one thing Saturday Night Live does right, is that kind of poking fun at society like that. Because that whole episode, I realized, yeah, okay, the one thing they understood is how everyone was just thinking about themselves. No one understood the outside world.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the point of that episode, was to just poke fun at like everyone being in their, creating their own little bubble and not understanding there's people outside of them and their friends group.
Yeah. Especially out here. It's not really like that as much in the middle of the country.
No, it's not. It's regular people doing regular things, doing blue collar jobs. And you know what? When you don't cater, when you don't talk to those people and you tell them they're sexist, racist, bigot, homophobes, they're gonna be like,
yeah, well,
no,
I'm from the South and they are.
I mean, regardless,
but they're also unapologetic about it at the same time.
Yeah, but regardless, if say Hillary Clinton had gone out and didn't say she wanted to shut down coal factories, which pretty much brought in the entire revenue for an entire state, didn't say, you know, care about, you know, didn't go out and really promote the farmers and promote the blue collar workers. She just went specifically after large cities and minorities. And she went to that logic and they're like, well, obviously you don't care about us. Trump's the only one coming out here. So that's why they voted for him, because you ignored him. And that's, I kind of think what SNL was trying to get at.
Sure.
So, I mean, that's just my opinion. It's funny how many, like so many of my friends will now just be like, well, that's just my opinion. Or like, I'll be texting them and they're like, well, that's just your opinion. Like, that's become a phrase just for my friends now.
Yeah, it seems like an SNL skit.
That's just my opinion. Yeah. I probably could be.
Yeah.
We could write an SNL skit about it.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah. Yeah, our last episode was politics. We don't need to get into it more. I've already
I don't care.
I've already said my piece.
I don't care about politics. I do not vote. I'm an ex-con, so.
Not true, but he just likes to tell people that. For, at least that's what your text message said last night.
Yeah.
At first, when you sent that, I thought you meant ex-conservative. And then I realized, oh, no, he means a convicted felon.
Well, you know what? This year especially, I don't care at all, but either person you said you would like, you're going to get
absolutely,
you're
going
to have
worse
to talk to someone for like more than a few minutes
to try to convince them. Yeah.
I'm just not interested in talking to anyone really for more, like someone I don't know.
Yeah.
You know,
I was going to say like, hey, we've been going for a while on this one.
Yeah. But you're paying me for this.
Oh, what are you, a wrestler now?
is that your wedding ring?
Yeah.
That's the most interesting wedding ring I've ever
seen.
It's
awesome, right?
Oh, it's heavy.
Yeah, it's tungsten carbide.
This is pretty cool. It's a little gothic.
I don't know. I like it. I mean, it's not cool. All black. Yeah, so anyone who hasn't seen it, my ring is this like tungsten carbide. It's like two-tone black with a diamond in it. I really like it. I think it's cool because, I mean, I'm not a big fan of just like that traditional gold. Like, my brother has one like this. It doesn't have it has a diamond, I believe, but it's all like, I think it's the same material, but it's all silver.
Have you had a wedding episode where you just bring people on that are married and talk about getting married?
No, I haven't.
That'd be a good episode.
Yeah, I have friends that, one that has already been on, Andrew, he got married 2 weeks after we did, and we were at each other's weddings. That was a lot of fun.
That'd be a good episode, I think. It'd be interesting.
I don't have four mics, otherwise we could have me and Carly, her.
Well, didn't you say you didn't pay much for these or something?
Yeah, but just the way I'd have to do it is, I don't want to deal with that. No, I've thought about it, but we'll see what happens. But yeah, right, thank you, dude. Thanks for being last minute last night at like 10:30. Hey, you mind if I come over and record you?
Yeah, man, no problem.
It's hard to find friends who are free during the day.
I don't have a day job right now, so I have a lot more free time. I talk to a lot less people, so you know, this was nice.
Yeah, well, I'm glad you still talk to me. So
yeah,
I'm happy about that. But yeah, dude, thank you, and thank you for the Connor.
Yeah,
I appreciate that. It's going to get displayed right in the house.
Yeah,
I'll probably put them up on my entertainment center.
Yeah, if you want some cool custom Funko Pops,
yeah,
my name on eBay is Funko Pop Drake, like the rapper. Funko Pop Drake.
Why Drake?
That's my middle name.
Oh, for sure. Well, I'm gonna probably mess around this Funko a little bit and check it out and see where I'm gonna put it in my house. So, all right. Well, thanks everyone, and we'll see you next week.
Bye.
Thanks for listening, everyone. Hope you enjoyed that. David's a good guy. I really like hanging out with them. That Connor, I will post on Twitter. It's awesome. I have it up in my house already. It's sitting on my entertainment center. It's funny because it's kind of small with my entertainment center being so big. But it's cool. It'll definitely be a conversation piece for sure. So time for the plugs. Follow the podcast on Twitter at BTJMOPod. You can follow us on Facebook, or like us on Facebook at facebook.com/BTJMOPod. Email the podcast at butthatsjustmyopinion@gmail.com. Love to hear what you guys are thankful for if you guys want to let me know. And so the song for this week, I was listening to some other podcasts. Shout out to Rivers Langley, who from the Country Music Podcast. I was listening to his podcast, The Goods from the Woods, and they were talking about a bunch of songs they would love to listen to. And he mentioned Marty Robbins, an old country singer, and he had mentioned that on our episode about country music, and specifically the album Gunfighter Ballads and Trail Songs. And I finally decided to give the whole thing a listen, and it's awesome. Really some great old country music, and I can see why everyone had this album ear or tape with them at all times back then. And I really like the first song on the album. It's called Big Iron. So that's what I'm going to leave you guys with this week, is some good old country gunfighter ballad called Big Iron. So thanks everyone for listening. Hope you guys have a great weekend. We'll see you in a couple weeks. And remember, you may agree or disagree with what I said, but that's just my opinion.
To the town of Avril rode a stranger one fine day. Hardly spoke to folks around him, didn't have too much to say. No one dared to ask his business, no one dared to make a slip. The stranger there among them had a big iron on his hip. Big iron on his hip. It was early in the morning when he rode into the town. He came riding from the south side, slowly looking all around. He's an outlaw loose and running, came the whisper from each lip. And he's here to do some business with a big iron on his hip. Big iron on his hip. In this town there lived an outlaw by the name of Texas Red. Many men had tried to take him, and that many men were dead. He was vicious and a killer, though a youth of 24, and the notches on his pistol numbered 1 in 19 more. 1 in 19 more.
Now the stranger started talking, made it plain to folks around. Was an Arizona Ranger, wouldn't be too long in town. He came here to take an outlaw back alive or maybe dead. And he said it didn't matter, he was after Texas Red. After Texas Red. Wasn't long before the story was relayed to Texas Red. But the outlaw didn't worry, men that tried before were dead. 20 men had tried to take him, 20 men had made a slip. 21 would be the ranger with the big iron on his hip. Big iron on his hip. The morning passed so quickly, it was time for them to meet. It was 20 past 11 when they walked out in the street. Folks were watching from the windows, everybody held their breath. They knew this handsome ranger was about to meet his death. About to meet his death. There was 40 feet between them when they stopped to make their play. And the swiftness of the ranger is still talked about today. Texas Red had not cleared leather for a bullet fairly ripped. And the ranger's aim was deadly with the big iron on his hip. Big iron on his hip. It was over in a moment and the folks had gathered round. There before them lay the body of the outlaw on the ground. Oh, he might have went on living, but he made one fatal slip when he tried to match the ranger with the big iron on his hip. Big iron on his hip. Big iron, big iron. When he tried to match the ranger with the big iron on his hip. Big iron on his hip.